Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Tuesday evening?
Oh, James, I'm doing lovely as always. Work was a lovely time today. I had one of my long days, so it was a fun drive all over, you know, God's green earth. It was a great drive, but I'm good, James. How are you?
I'm pretty good myself. Glad to not be sweating my butt off anymore.
It was a hot one today.
And a basement, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. And I'm good with it. I don't even care if I get cold. I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a warm one today. The truck got hot for me real quick. And then we just said, screw it. Went a lot. Dude, I drank so much water today. I was like,
yeah, me too. Oh.
Every stop I went to where they'd offer me water, or they'd normally, if I asked, they'd get me water. Every stop, water, 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 gone. It was a great time.
I always weigh myself before I shower. And I weighed 5 pounds less this afternoon than what I did this morning.
Did you go to the bathroom?
Multiple times.
Dose? Yeah. Dose?
But not 5 pounds worth, buddy. That's...
Fair enough. Just curious.
Maybe one and a half if it was a really good movement, you know?
Every now and then you just got to check. All right. Moving on from that talk to Steelers talk. So very first thing on the list today, we're going to go over some Steelers news, including... technically a Steelers player, even though it's not Steelers news. Our first round draft pick, Kenny Pickett, the quarterback from Pitt, was named the ACC Male Athlete of the Year for 2021, which is huge because that covers all sports in the ACC specifically.
Yep. So better than any other basketball players, baseball players, soccer, hockey.
Lacrosse.
I don't know. Chess.
Do they do lacrosse?
Whatever.
Swimming?
All of it.
Swimming?
Bowling?
Polo? Is it water polo or regular polo? I don't know. Is there regular polo? I don't even know.
Yeah. Is there? On horseback.
That's polo?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Water polo, you should have to ride like a dolphin or something now that I know that.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be majestic.
New Olympic sport.
New patent here. Patent pending right here on Steelers by the Lake. You heard it
first. That's it, buddy. That's it. Dolphin riding polo. Yeah,
absolutely. In other news... this guy right here, TJ Watt, I'm pointing at the jersey on my back wall. He did something pretty cool.
He sure did.
I was just going to
say. Got himself married.
He did. He got married. I don't remember
in
where.
Cabo.
Cabo. That was it.
Cabo.
I don't know what I said.
Beautiful, beautiful place. He even had fireworks put off after he got married.
Man, why would you not? Like, I mean, if you had the money for it, why would you not?
You know what's funny is it looks like Robert Spillane might have gotten married over the weekend too, and like nobody's talking about it, and it was like in somebody's backyard.
If that happened, I am going to tweet at him and make a post about him immediately when we're done with this recording right now. I'm going to do it. Listen, I got to make him feel good, and it would be a great time. For sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. Yeah.
How different people live sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yep, 100%. Other news, James, you got this one. James, share this.
Yes, so every year the NFL does players for the Hall of Fame as far as semifinalists, finalists. But then there's also the senior committee guys, which are either guys that played a long time ago or contributors, former coaches, owners, commentators, that sort of thing. In this list, there's 25 of them in the semifinalist stage, which is where they're at right now. It was just announced the other day. And in that list, current Steelers Vice President Art Rooney Jr. was listed. Also, former Steelers head coach Buddy Parker, who was back before Chuck Knoll. So way long time.
I didn't know him.
Yeah.
Not a clue.
You did not. Buddy Parker was most notorious for not liking rookies. So when you look back at old draft classes and you see all of a sudden there's like a huge span of the Steelers not drafting anyone at all, that was because Buddy Parker traded away all his draft picks to get veterans off of other teams. He just didn't like rookies.
Fair enough. I guess that's not, you know, I mean, that's there. I've taken coaching classes in my college career because of the sports background and everything. And that takes a skill to teach someone and to bring someone up into a new aspect of a sport, same sport, but different aspects and different things they got to learn. And at that time, different rules and play styles and all that stuff, maybe even more today than back then. That's a training skill. And if he didn't have it, maybe he didn't want to work on it.
Yeah. So He just didn't want to mess around with it, man. And it's kind of funny because you look at that and then immediately following, Chuck Knoll takes over and he builds through the draft.
Yeah.
And he's notorious for having come into that first training camp and looking at all the players there and saying, most of you are not good enough and will not be on this team. Most of you. Can you imagine that? I mean, he wasn't lying, though.
No,
they did not have a tradition of success before Chuck Knoll. So
that's crazy. That is wild. And we're going to move on from this. News, sad news, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to call it fake news. Field is no longer Heinz Field. Heinz specifically chose not to extend the naming rights for the stadium, mostly because there was another group that was willing to pay noticeably more than what Heinz felt possible by their company or whatever. And so now the new deal is a 15-year deal, very similar to what I think that's what Heinz was originally. And then I think they signed another 1 or 2 year deal, whatever. I don't remember exactly how many years there it's been Heinz. It's been that since 2001.
It might have been 20 years.
Was it? It might have been a 20. Yeah, that makes sense. It was a 20-year deal. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Because Three River Stadium, and then Three River Stadium was gone. Heinz Field came in. And now it is Acrisure Stadium, if I said that right. I don't even know if I said it right.
Yes.
Nor do you did I care. Say that, right? It's Heinz Field. It's Heinz Field.
Heinz Field. Cody's in denial, which is most of the fan bases as well. I understand that completely.
I don't know what you're talking about. Heinz Field.
You got to look around the league, though. There's a lot of stadiums that are like this, like the Ravens or MNT Bank Stadium. That's a lame name, too. You know, it's just another.
It rolls off the tongue company. A little better.
Yeah.
Acrisure Stadium.
Acrisure will eventually.
No.
It's just new, so people don't like it, and I get it.
I can't
wait
to go.
It's not an amazing name.
James, the first game we go to, I'm going to just gotta start chanting Heinz Field and see what happens. I guarantee you that whole stadium.
Everyone will cheer it. Everyone will do it for sure because nobody wants it to change.
No.
It sounds as though Heinz still is going to have some sort of partnership going on there.
My guess is they're going to have some kind of Heinz highlights or something to keep those ketchup bottles in there and everything. That's my guess.
Yeah, Art Rooney kind of hinted that they may keep the ketchup bottles after all. So we'll see. Maybe they'll still do like the Heinz red zone, but everything else is Acrisure. But we'll see. To me, the writing was on the wall with this. We talked to you guys back a couple years ago, actually, now, when the Kraft organization, some call it a merger, some say it was a buyout, whatever. It's technically like the Heinz Kraft organization now. It's not just Heinz. There was a merger there, and it's no longer just Heinz. So I figured once Robert Kraft got his hands involved in the Heinz Corporation, it was only a matter of time before they were not going to be the financial backers for the Steelers anymore. So very unfortunate. It was really a fun tradition, you know, but that tradition is gone. And here comes the investment and insurance firm of Acrisure. And
Heinz Field. Okay.
Still Heinz Field, the Cody.
Moving on from the talk about Heinz Field, defensive lineman Daniel Archibong, who we just talked about 2 weeks ago when we went over the D-line depth chart and the breakdown of those positions on the D-line, retired from the NFL this past week unexpectedly. And that's kind of all that there is to know. I haven't seen or heard any news stories break about why or what caused it, or is it injury? Is it family related? Is it life? Is he not going to pass a physical this year? So rather than getting shit, like, I don't know what it is. I'm assuming it's not the physical thing, 'cause he's already been at involuntary workouts.
Yeah. Mini camps and whatnot. And yeah.
Voluntary workouts.
This is actually something that is, pretty clear as to what happened here.
Okay, go for it.
Oh, he listened to last week's episode. He heard us say that he had no chance of making the team, and he said, well, I might as well just retire then. So
that's fair.
If that's the case, sorry about that, Daniel. I'm going to try not to repeat that for
anybody else.
These future guys.
We can't repeat it for the middle linebacker crew. So
no, they all have a shot of making the team, which is kind of crazy. We're going to go over that today. We're all linebackers to finish up the show today.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about outside linebackers and middle linebackers, because this week we are going over the positional breakdowns of the linebacking crew. So before we do that, we want to thank you guys real quick for all the likes and everything we're getting on Facebook. We're almost to 1,000 likes on Facebook, which is mind-boggling. When that happens, James and I will do something. We don't know what it is yet. We'll probably talk and think about that during the week this year. Okay. Oh my. I really hope you guys aren't watching this week's episode on YouTube. With that being said, we're not going to even discuss what just happened. We'll do something fun or exciting for you guys. Maybe we'll do some kind of giveaway or something. I don't know what we'll do. Maybe a small giveaway. Maybe I'll give away a lunchbox. Who knows? Jersey, if we're feeling lucky or spunky, I don't know. We'll figure it out, but maybe we'll do like a Facebook Live event and bring you guys in and chat with you and stuff like that. I don't know. Those are options, especially since we're celebrating 1,000 followers on Facebook. Why not do a Facebook Live? That kind of makes sense. My brain just lit up like a light bulb.
Good idea, young man.
Yeah. I also want to thank the new follower and listener we have in Ohio. She knows who she is. We'll leave it at that. she did download today. It's always funny when it's nearing the end of the week and you can tell that people are downloading from specific areas, because most of you guys download at the beginning of the week. So, or I should say when the episode drops. So it was a fun time chatting with a new Steelers fan today. Remember those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. We will give you a shout out on the episode that it hits on. So linebackers, outside linebackers, let's go.
Let's go. We're starting at the top and there is no higher. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We got to turn it down. Turn it down.
Oh, turn it down.
Turn down for what? I played you into that so good.
Oh, I never even saw it coming.
I know. Most quarterbacks in TJ Watt. You know what I'm saying?
That's true, man. At least 22 times last year, right?
At least. Yeah, it was more than that. We'll argue about that later.
22 and a half.
That's what it was.
Best outside linebacker in the NFL. He got paid appropriately so this offseason, and you have to feel really good about his chances to not only break the Steelers' all-time sack record this upcoming season, probably before the season's even up, because he's not that far away from it. It's only like another, less than 10, I think, before he passes up James Harrison for the number one all-time spot. But just a tremendous leader. He leads with his emotions. He leads with his actions on the field, and very level-headed. You don't ever see him lose his cool, too. So it's a real blessing to have a player like TJ Watt on the team and leading the outside linebacker group and the pass rush in general. Stout against the run, too, right? He does a great job against the run.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, TJ's sitting at 72 sacks. James Harrison's at 80 and a half. So he'll pass that this year. He'll pass it.
Yeah, he could do that by the bye week.
He really could, especially with where our bye week is placed this year.
Yeah, it's like week 9. He might do it.
He really could. But yeah, I don't have anything more to say about TJ Watt. I mean, TJ Watt speaks for himself. He made himself, he made himself the animal he is today. You can say it's genetics. You can say it's whatever. The man's a freak. I don't even know what more to say. TJ Watt is the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, and rightfully so. Should have been defending TJ Watt, NFL Defensive Player of the Year, but we'll not worry about that until he wins defending NFL Defensive Player of the Year this year. I just had a stroke. It's okay. On the other side of the ball, you're sitting there looking at a bunch of different guys. Technically, we know who the starter is. We know who it is. It's Alex Highsmith. He's been there. He's been involved greatly. It's 6'4", 242.
LOL next to that, because there's no way he's still 242.
There's not. He's probably pushing 250, 255.
I bet he's close to 255 at this point. He's been getting bigger and stronger every year. And you can tell by his play on the field too, right? He's getting better against the run. He's getting to the quarterback more. His sack production has gone up each year consecutively. I think this is the year we see a jump out of him. I wouldn't be surprised if we get 9 sacks out of Alex this year. I don't know if he gets that 10 quite yet, but 9, 9.5 wouldn't surprise me one bit from him. I think he's got the capability to do it. And the fact that he keeps on working on his craft and keeps on coming back bigger every year I'm really excited to see what we can get out of Alex this year. And it's going to be a big year for him, because then you're going into the final year of that rookie deal, and it's payday. You know, it's time to earn that money, man. Yeah. There's not a lot of big name guys going into the end of their contracts right now. Obviously, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool the following season, but there's not a ton of people past that that really at this stage in their careers would deserve a big payday.
We talked about it with Tommy and Frank. It's Deontay Johnson and probably Alex Highsmith. Those are probably the two names. Alex Highsmith has to have a good year and a half, good 2 years.
Yeah, if he gets to that 9-10 sack category, he can command a good 15 to 20 million a year as the guy opposite of TJ. He's not going to get TJ money, but he can still get a lot of money as that number two outside linebacker. And Pittsburgh's shown that they're willing to do that in the past. They paid both James Harrison and Lamar Woodley at the same time. Yep. So there's absolutely no reason to think that they would not pay Alex Highsmith appropriately so if he can continue on that upwards trend. But like I said, I'm pretty excited about the possibility of him doing so. The next three guys to me are all in the same category, so I'm going to kind of lump them together.
That's real fine. Quick
there. Number one, Jannard Avery. Number two, Derek Tuzka. And number three, Tuzar Skipper. Of the three, Derek Tuzka is the only returning player from last year.
Yeah,
I felt like he got a little better as the season went on, was a good special teamer, got a couple sacks near the end of the year, started to show a little bit of pass rush capability. And he's a young guy in a good long frame. He's 6'5 with some decent length. Jannard Avery's kind of the opposite. He's been around the league a little bit already, but he's only 6 foot, 250 pounds on a 6 foot frame. So he's a built dude, but doesn't have that length. And he might struggle a little bit on run plays where it's running at him. Trying to disengage from a tackle who's going to have a lot better length is going to be kind of a difficult thing for him. He's a little bit better in the chasing from behind role when it comes to that, but does have some pass rush ability. I do believe he had a year where he had 7 sacks once in his career. Mm-hmm. So some pass rush ability there for sure. And then who can forget Tuzar Skipper's preseason a couple years ago with the Steelers, where he had like 5 or 6 sacks in 4 preseason games, and it was only like 6 quarters worth of play.
Yeah, Jannard Avery has 7.5 sacks on his career. His rookie year, he had 4.5 with Cleveland.
That must be what I was thinking about, was the rookie year where he had all the sacks.
Yep, probably. With that being said, I'm going to go over these three real quick. Derek Tuzka, in my opinion, is the number one backup at this position because of his play last year, because of his ability and understanding of the playbook. That just makes sense to me. Then you're looking at Jannard Avery. Jannard Avery being a player that's been obviously not with the team necessarily, but was brought in fairly early and quickly. And then you're sitting at Tuzar Skipper. Tuzar Skipper was the guy that they brought in last to this group. And with that being said, they brought in other outside linebackers first. So that's telling me they were looking for someone better than him and couldn't, so they went with him anyways. I think if Tuzar Skipper automatically was better than Jannard Avery, they would have already brought him in. It would have been faster than that. Or they would have got rid of Jannard Avery for one of the other guys they brought in. That just makes sense to me mentality-wise. So I think that Derek Tuzka, as of right now, is the number one starting outside linebacker, probably on both sides. If I would argue that on both sides he can play. And then Tuzar Skipper being the third of those three guys, Jannard Avery being the middle guy. The last three guys on this list, Tyree Johnson, T.D. Moultrie, both undrafted free agents from this year, and Delonte Scott, who's been in the league for a year, are on the outside looking in. I don't see us keeping 6 outside linebackers. You know, 4 or 5 max.
Yeah.
So, especially when you look at the depth at middle linebacker and how we handled the injury issue we had 2 years ago when we had a bunch of guys go down. They kept more middle linebackers last year. I'm sure they're going to do the same thing this year. I'm very curious to see what they do. But again, Tyree Johnson, T.D. Moultrie, Delonte Scott, those are the names I would recommend watching during specifically preseason if you get the chance, or training camp if you're there. If they make a play and they can jump in or around those other three guys, Tuzar Skipper, Jannard Avery, Derek Tuzka, and get some playing time, there's a chance they could push one of these guys off the roster. Not likely.
Yeah, they're looking at future depth too. Yep. Who can they keep on the practice squad for a year and then maybe jump into the role that Jannard Avery might fill this year? Because I'm kind of with you. I assume that it's going to be Tuska and then probably Avery, but I'm not ruling out Skipper. I think Skipper could absolutely outshine Avery in the preseason and get that spot. But they're probably going to lean towards a young guy that they can develop on the practice squad rather than a veteran that they already know what he is. So I think there's a real big opportunity for both Tyree Johnson and T.D. Moultrie to prove what they possibly could be in the NFL with their first opportunities here. Delonte Scott, I think, was on the preseason or on the practice squad with the Steelers a little bit last year. So he at least will be familiar with the defense and the scheme and the playbook and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that's an advantage for him. He might get on the field before the two undrafted guys when the preseason games come along.
Yep. So that's going to round up the outside linebackers. Looking at middle linebacker, James, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier and talked about this a little bit before the show. All these guys are contenders for roster spots. In one way or another, they are contenders. You obviously have the likes of Miles Jack, Devin Bush, Robert Spillane, which are all but guaranteed to be on the team. Miles Jack being the player that we just traded for from the Jacksonville Jaguars, or excuse me, signed free agent, right?
Signed in free agency, yeah.
His other teammate, who will not be named because he was so bad, Josho, even though I just named him, was the other guy that we traded for from the Jacksonville Jaguars that did not
pan
out. I'm pumped for Miles Jack. Miles Jack at 6'1", 255. He's a bigger body, bigger build than Devin Bush. And a lot of the times with 3-4 defenses where teams are running those two middle linebackers, they typically have those guys, one a little bit bigger than the other one, one kind of more fast and ability to defend the run, another one a little bit more pass breakup ability. I think both these guys are pretty well versed in both areas. Devin Bush just being the guy who had a rough last 2 years with the injury, coming back off the injury and not playing super, super well last year. But again, Miles Jack, I'm hyped for. Devin Bush has a great opportunity again. Finishing off his rookie deal, has a chance to make a name for himself, whether with us or with somebody else. This is it. He's got to show up. He's got to prove something. And he has 1 year left still after this, right?
This upcoming season is the final season of his rookie deal. The Steelers opted not to do the fifth-year option with him, so they could franchise tag him if they want. But I think what you're looking at most likely is if he has a good season, they just try to extend him. Yep. But what a wonderful problem that would be if Devin Bush has a good year, right? I'm with you as far as Miles Jack. I'm stoked to see him out there. He's known for extreme capabilities in pass coverage, which has not been something that our guys have excelled in the previous couple of years here, really since Shazier. Haven't had a middle Vince linebacker Williams, who was really good.
Yeah. Vince Williams and Vince and was Joe great
at rushing the passer.
Yep.
And then you had Shazier, who was excellent out there in coverage and in space. He had a knack for getting his hands on the ball and getting some interceptions. Miles is a very similar guy to that as far as against the pass. So we got to see these guys step up against the run, but I think the having Tyson Alualu back at nose tackle is really going to help them out, get them a little bit more room to work. And then Robert Spillane, just the experienced veteran, kind of good in all scenarios. I'm with you. I think he's kind of a lock as far as making the team along with those two starters. But then we start getting into the next tier of guys. So we've got Ulysses Gilbert III and Marcus Allen. Both have been with the team a good 3-4 years now at this stage, and you're still wondering, what do we have with them, right?
Yep.
Ulysses has shown some real spurts where he looked really good, and then other times where he just struggles to get on the field even when there's a bunch of injuries. Marcus Allen has shown real well on special teams, but as a middle linebacker, still trying to adjust from being a safety. Kind of looks out of place sometimes where he's maybe not sure when he's supposed to shoot the gap and kind of gets run around. Just a little smaller for a middle linebacker. You know, they have him listed at 215. I don't think he's 215 anymore. He probably beefed up to a good 230 or more. But still, it's a tough adjustment for safeties going from that to where, you know, when you come down and help against the run as a safety, typically you're not engaging a guard or a tackle. You're dealing with a tight end or a fullback or something at worst. Sometimes even just a wide receiver. Now all of a sudden you're going against 330-pound dudes.
Yeah.
And if you're only 230, that's a hell of an adjustment. So I think it's been kind of difficult for Marcus Allen personally. But we had a fun little interaction with a Facebook member of the Steelers by the Lake group. As far as Ulysses Gilbert III, Cody, you want to talk on that?
Yeah, Angela Edwards. We posted something on Facebook. We actually reposted something the Steelers posted, which was a jersey in the locker room, Minka Fitzpatrick jersey in the locker room, which I will own one day now that he has signed an extension because he's wearing my high school number, just saying. So I will own that jersey as soon as possible. So keep an eye on for that. But the Pittsburgh Steelers said,
Shorts by Minka, though, really, to take your jersey number.
I know. What a savage.
Very, very smart. Very smart.
I mean, it's good luck for him. It looked good on me. What's your favorite Steelers jersey you own is what the Steelers said. And we had one person comment on it, and it was Angela Edwards, who said Ulysses Gilbert III, with a picture of her jersey with it autographed, which is pretty dope. And then we responded, that's an awesome jersey right there, because you guys all know, if you've listened to the podcast a little bit, James and I are very high. We're big fans of Ulysses Gilbert. We want to see Ulysses Gilbert. We'd love to see UG3 come in and shake up the depth chart and play well and make the team for a long time. We like UG3. We do. I don't know what more there is to say. We like him.
Oh, no, absolutely. He had all kinds of athleticism coming out, all kinds of upside and potential. So we've been hoping since his draft, really, that we'd get a chance to see him really show what he has on the field.
Yeah. So then Angela Edwards commented back and said that she's kind of partial to him with a picture with him. And we're like, oh, okay, what the heck's going on here? And we'd love to hear the story about that. Well, she responded and basically just said that she works with a couple of his family members, wherever it is that she works. And that is awesome. I mean, that's so fun. We love to hear the stories from you guys and your interactions with players, whether you know them or whether you've just had really fun passing bys with them or whatever. Or if you're our good friend here at Steelers by the Lake, Noah, who, if you haven't seen, we share pictures from the Erie Express. Noah is a player that James and I sponsor for the Erie Express, Noah Wagers. And he high-fived Eric Ebron once and said he would never wash his hand again. So we love to hear the kind of interactions you guys have. I'm going to go ahead and say right now that if you guys get the chance to listen to this, go on the Facebook page. The YouTube video will be shared there, or actually probably YouTube video and the audio from Podbean, the app that we use to post. Comment your favorite interaction you have, your favorite memory with a Steelers player, past, present, future. It would be weird if you have a memory with a future player because we don't know who's going to be on the team later. but let us know your most fun interaction or your most memorable interaction there on Facebook, and we'd love to share that next week on the podcast or weeks moving forward as we get them. So, yeah, moving on. I mean, same thing.
Shout out to Angela, really. That's awesome. Yes. Cool story, and if you guys give us interaction like that on any, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you want to interact with us, that kind of thing could be mentioned on the show. So keep that in mind. There could be some benefit to telling stories and having fun with us online, you know?
Maybe we'll bring you on the show for one of these stories if they're good enough. We'll find out.
You never know.
but no, I'm with you on the Marcus Allen UG3. It's hard to run up against the guys when you're smaller, the weight's not there, the strength isn't there. It's a mismatch. It's literally a mismatch at the definition of a mismatch. You have a guy that specifically played safety going up against linemen and tight ends, and it just doesn't normally play out very well. Buddy Johnson, Mark Robinson, the last two guys on the list. Buddy Johnson being a fourth round draft pick last year.
I believe it was the fourth round. I think he was the compensatory pick in the fourth.
I believe you are correct. So again, Buddy Johnson, great chance to make the team just because of the investment there. I think I would personally say that he's a little bit above Marcus Allen because of Marcus Allen being older. The flexibility is there with Marcus Allen, but at this point, I think you're past using him as a safety.
Absolutely.
I would argue that Buddy Johnson has a little bit of an edge there. And then Mark Robinson, obviously being the seventh round draft. The first seventh round draft pick from this year, sitting at 5'11", 235, the smallest, well, technically Devin Bush was 1 pound lighter, but one of the smallest middle linebackers on the team rounds up the linebackers there. So again, James, if you don't have anything else to say, maybe you do.
I do.
Okay.
I do. On this real quick here, Buddy Johnson didn't get to play much last year. He just had an injury when his opportunity came, which was a shame because it looked like he might have something. Mark Robinson, I'm really excited about, honestly, because he only played middle linebacker for 1 year in college. He was a running back previous to that. And in that 1 year, put up a lot of numbers. Really seemed like he had a nose for the ball. He's a good hard-hitting linebacker. And I think this is the kind of guy that, with appropriate coaching, and boy, do we have some really good coaching at linebacker now, with not just Coach Jerry Olsowski, but Brian Flores now. These linebackers are talking about being taught things that they've never heard before in their entire careers. Even Miles Jack talking about he taught me things in the first week I've never even thought of or heard of before.
Yeah.
So this is some really elite level coaching that our middle linebackers are getting this year, that maybe is a little different from what they had previously. So I think there could be some really a real opportunity with a guy like that, to mold him into exactly what you want him to be. But really kind of keep him from getting some bad habits. You don't have to break him with bad habits. He didn't have time to develop any. He hasn't been playing the position long enough to have a bunch of bad habits. It's just, here's this really good athlete. It's good at hitting people and bringing them to the ground. Let's teach him how to do everything, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, basically what it is, which we love that. We love that. Get a good athlete in there and teach him how to play a position and make it work. Again, we can't thank you guys enough for the continued support, the continued likes on Facebook. Continue to share all the posts on Facebook if you want with your friends and family. Share it to your page. Comment on them. We want to interact with you guys. We can't thank you guys enough. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, potentially TikTok if we can get our account figured out and get it back. And YouTube, subscribe and ring the bell. And until next time, where we will be talking about the secondary next week. Keep an eye on that.
And teams.
And special teams. Keep an eye on that for sure. I got to talk about those kickers and punters and long snappers. They count.
Christian Coons.
Again, thank you guys so much. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.